Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrews.
Shalom, shalom, Daughters of Zion women. Hallelujah, sisters who are listening. Bless y'all. I'm Sister Ashley, born and raised right here in Lafayette, Tennessee. I'm the host of tonight's show, and I hope you enjoy it. Hallelujah. I hope that you have seen yourself more than you saw yourself even just a week ago. Hallelujah. That you may strive and self-reprove yourself to be more and more holy as He is holy. Thank the Father for showing us mercy. Hallelujah. Giving it to the thousands who love Him. And I am with, as always, a guest, Mother Jennifer, a co-host, and a very primary must-have. I need you on here, Mother Jennifer. I need you on these weekly shows. So thank you for being with me tonight. Let's get a sound check from you.
Sister Ashley, not as much as I need you on these shows. So blessings to you all, Daughters of Zion. This is Mother Jennifer. It is an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me on, Sister Ashley. I pray that everyone can hear me And it looks like we got tens rolling into the chat room, so we can go on and proceed.
Hallelujah. Well, I thank the Father for his perfect plan, for his timing, for his way, not my way. And I thank him so much for every single one of you, for your stories, what he's going to do for you and what he already has. He's a mighty Yah, and thank him for enduring with us. I thank him for my shepherd, Mother Jennifer. I always pray to please remove any distraction Pastor has. Please surround him with those that are grateful, and please teach him the intention of every woman in this ministry and show him my love for him. So I constantly pray that, not in vain, but with all sincerity. I thank the Father for the honor my husband has for the Most High's people and for the honor that he has for this land. He won't put his family first, nor would he allow me to put his family first above community. I just thank him. I thank the Most High for keeping Deacon so that I could follow him and that I could abide in peace because of my husband and my husband's spirit. And I want to thank the Father just for being my husband's all in all, you know, not allowing me to sway his heart or allow anything to take him off course. He's a gentle spirit and very sound-minded. I want to thank the Father for removing fantasy from those of us who are striving to know his ways, and me specifically, just for giving me real hope, you know, giving me real faith, giving me real mothers, you know, Mother Carol, Mother Jennifer. I call them mother in heart and in title openly, but sincerely I thank him for everyone that he is setting in their rightful place in our midst, and I thank him for each woman on this community, what they bring, whether it be iron or skill. I thank him for Tammy, Tia, Sarah, Carolina, Summer. And as I said, I thank him for what he has done and what he will do for those sisters, everyone here. I'm very, very thankful for the brothers that I have around me. They're very respectful by nature, very honorable men, worthy of honor, and they commit their promises. They keep their word, hallelujah, and they obey with fear their shepherd and their leaders and their Yah. I'm in a great place of great safety, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Hallelujah. Mr. Shepherd and Mother Summer, bless you. Hezekiah, Nelly, everyone in Pastor's immediate house. Bless you, Sister Bonnie. Bless you to everyone who traveled for a beautiful, beautiful wedding. Thank you for coming out. Thank you, Georgia. I can do a show on the wedding, but I won't. So share your heart, Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, I just want to first acknowledge the Most High Yah for continuing to keep us during this dead season, for always giving us such sound preaching, sound words, sound wisdom. It's just an honor to be kept by him, even in the midst of everything going on around us. You know, we are so shielded and protected. I remember telling someone, I believe it was at the wedding, that, you know, everybody's talking about how, quote unquote, how bad 2020 was. But really for us, I can say that it was actually a pretty great year. Because the Father just continues to show his love and to really pour his love on us. And so for the world, it may be a bad year, but for us, it truly has been a blessing. And we've all just have had an opportunity to grow closer to him. And so I just want to just truly thank the Father for showing us who he is and who we are as well. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for being the strong, sound example that he is, for keeping my mind sound, for guiding his entire family through his correction and through his love, and shaping us into who we need to be for Yah first, can be who we need to be for him. It's an honor to be able to learn from him, to just be able to sit at his feet. And, you know, Sister Ashley, I think that people see what the elders have on them, you know, just what leadership has on them, and they think that everything is always just so serious, and, you know, even the world thinks that we are oppressed. But I'll tell you, being in this family, is there's so much life, so much fun, and so much love that people wouldn't even be able to comprehend it without the love of Yah. And finally, I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for continuing to deliver Yah's word to us, for the word Lashabbat, about our will and fighting against, you know, the I don't feel like it, and the correction that he gave for the spirit of heaviness. And, you know, the word was so rich. And I just want to really thank Pastor Dow for always being available to speak what the Spirit desires him to speak, for really tapping into to Yah, for always being able to discern the heart of Yah, and to be able to speak the truth no matter what. And I also want to acknowledge Straightway Tennessee for one of the best weddings, I will say, for all the hard work that you all put in, all the attention to detail. I was kind of sitting off to the side, Sister Ashley, as you were giving the servers their instructions and their details on how to properly serve the people, the questions that they should ask. The details that went into that was astounding. It really is. And I think that we take for granted you know, what it truly takes to be served and what it takes to serve. So many will just come and put their feet under the table, not knowing what went into it. And I had an opportunity to just really sit back and look at everything come together. I saw all the love of the saints come together, even those who traveled to come to be there. It was really an honor to see our daughter, Tia, blessed. And I say our daughter because she's, I know, a daughter of many. She has so many mothers, so many mommies, so many moms. It was really an honor just to see you all come out and support Brother Brett and Sister Tia. And thank you so much, Straightway Tennessee, for everything you do, for the example, the hard work, eliminating excuses. I love you all dearly. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. We had a great team. We did. And pardon me for that. Let me turn this off immediately. Hey, speaking of being lively, as you said, we're a lively family. I'll give y'all a little joke. This is the type of life we live behind the scenes. Me and Sakina. Sakina's driving me up here to the, look, she already laughing. We coming up to the tabernacle because I ride with her often, and we're all quiet. I'm like, we need some medicine. Hey, y'all know what medicine is, right? That's laughter. And I'm like, let's think about you grilling at the feast. Like, nobody hangs out 12 inches above a burger like you do just to smell the smoke because it smells good. She get her face right down, right over the meat just to smell the smoke, just flipping it, flipping the burgers just right under her nose. And we choking. You stand off to the side and smoking and choking, and she want to breathe it in, y'all. Oh, my goodness. This is the family. Hallelujah. This is the family. Look, they're laughing in the background. If y'all know Sakina personally, I already know. Tamika, Decor, you are laughing. Hallelujah. All right. So phone lines are open, my sisters. Phone lines are open. Anything that you want to ask us that we may have, you know, an answer for, please call in. Hallelujah. Guest call in is 310-982-4226. We got some LOLs from the chat room. Y'all already know that's funny to even imagine. I wanna just briefly say why I personally don't speak a lot about raising children on this show. I never have, and it's always been purposeful. Okay, so you want to know why? Is a few reasons why. Number one, if I can put them in order, would be the variety of minds in our audience. And as we speak to each of you, majority has been heavily influenced by society when it comes to raising your children. And the majority of our audience denies biblical application of discipline. Okay, that's number one. Number two, of course, for our children's safety. Oh, what do you mean, children's safety? And I think about it. Also, and mainly, Mother Jennifer, the children belong to the father of their home, and it is his responsibility to apply biblical practices of discipline and balance between coaching and loving, and the woman is nurturing, and discipline is just one portion of that. And honestly, we as women don't cultivate our love as mothers for our children. We don't share the same oneness of mind when it comes to raising children that would even allow us the opportunity to freely speak. Most don't want to be a better mom. And if you don't believe me, how many questions have you asked about how to be better? So most women are very comfortable, very passive, very stuck on themselves, meaning it's a lot to bear already as a woman changing, coming into the way, changing your mind, your mindset, and becoming submitted. And now put a child in that equation, it overwhelms you because of the weakness of your mind and the weakness of your nature. So it's nothing personal. There's no one even in my mind when I speak, but you don't inquire how to be better from the women around you, and you don't inquire on how to be a better mom. So I don't put myself out there. I've never even raised a teenager. Some of you have. Maybe not in the way, though. So we have a hodgepodge of women who are striving, trying, learning, trying to get in one mind. I'll tell you this, I truly can testify from a pure heart of how you can love someone else's child just like your own. I can testify on how to love someone else's child and not be a respecter of persons to your own. I can also testify to putting your children last and not first, denying your own children's desires for someone else's. I can talk about that. I can talk about how to honor each father's home, even though the fathers have differences in discipline. I can talk to you about how to teach your children how to honor adults, whether they agree or not. I can talk to you about homeschool and bringing different children's minds or ages together into one, and so can other women within the ministry. I just happen to be on the mic tonight. But I wanted to put that out there and let you know, hey, call in if you have any questions on training your children. Call in. It's not that we would ever refrain from sharing what we know, but I personally share one-on-one. I told a sister recently, Mother Jennifer, who had asked me, and she's removed certain things from her daughter who is, disobedient. I told her the Bible doesn't say remove anything. And if you're a mother, according to the word, you know what the Bible says. And who or how many of you are repenting for sparing? How many of you really take the words to heart? So we have our husbands and we have the Bible and the scriptures that we can meditate on to be better women. We have one another. If we want to cultivate these relationships, if you want better for your child than what you're able to produce, then humble yourself to someone else and to the fruit of another family and let your potential really soar. Mother Jennifer.
And you know, Sister Ashley, for women, it really takes putting aside the spirit of competition, putting aside the spirit of insecurity, thinking that, you know, someone will view you as less if you are asking for help, if you are seeking out help. If you see that someone is successful in an area, seek that person out. You know, don't pretend to have it all together. That's what we're here for. We have to seek each other out. There's no way that you'll be able to come into this faith and have everything figured out with no questions at all. That's just not that's just not the way that it works. That's why we need each other, so that we can sharpen one another. But, you know, we as women, we have to put aside being competitive, thinking that someone will speak down about you to someone else, or whatever it may be. You know, put aside all the insecurity so that you can get the help that you need. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. And as a mother, if you saw how important it was for you to love another sister and another child, even though she has mistakes, even though she doesn't have it all together, et cetera, if you would reach out and love and be a part of her, you don't know that you could actually be used and instrumental to heal her broken heart. Hallelujah. So you got the word, my sisters. You got chasing the sun while there is still hope. And let not your soul spare him for all his crying. All right? Bind these words on your neck as you train your children. It says you shall not, or you shall. The word says you shall beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Ask yourself, how are you doing that? Are you doing it? Chastise your son. Hold him to labor, Sirach says. Unless his lewd behavior be an offense unto you. And they represent you, whether you have a husband or not. As a woman, you are the authority over your child. It is a position that you have to walk in. Because a child, as soon as it's born, can cry and dictate your very day. You place yourself in authority over that child. You're not going to die. All right? I'm coming. I'm going to get you. Right? So be still. Let your soul be still. It says bow down his neck while he's young and beat him on the sides while he's a child, unless he waxes stubborn and is disobedient unto you and brings sorrow to your heart. So you apply a Bible now. Talk to all these women who went on before us who didn't do it the Bible way. And the payment, I know Pastor said it years ago when I stored it, that every single time you spare your child, you are going to pay for it. I mean, find a reason to give it to him. The rod and reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to a shame. And Jesus said himself, I mean, put Jesus right in front of you. He's talking straight to you. You're a mother. You have these children. He's talking to you, and he says, he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Right? So there is a certain way that the word speaks, and me as a mother, I do take the word to heart. My husband does teach me what he desires out of his children. We do spend a lot of time communicating, a lot of time disciplining, a lot. I mean a lot. I can't stress to you. It's not always out in the open. You don't see much of us bells in the open doing a bunch of talking or communicating or correcting. You really don't. But behind the scenes, I promise you it's part of our life. And I know other families and other mothers that are the same way. So, Mother Jennifer?
It's like, you know, Mama Nelly said during Tabernacles, she brought up the point that there are so many women that she witnessed getting frustrated with their children because, you know, like you said, Sister Ashley, there's so much that happens behind the scenes. And so when you get out in the open, all the behind-the-scenes stuff has been dealt with. So you don't have to do much out in the open because it's already been addressed. It's already been dealt with. But if you have a false balance of coming into a public setting out in the open and you haven't taught your child how to act or how to behave, and they're embarrassing you and you give them the rod because you're embarrassed, then your motive is wrong. you know, and she said the correction always starts at home. So you really have to make sure that you are correcting behind the scenes, you're correcting at home, just so that you don't get to a place where you're out in public and you're only giving the rod because you're taking it personally because this child has embarrassed you because you have not done your job. Sister Ashley?
Subconscious communication is I'm afraid of the environment around me and I'm afraid of the people around me seeing me. So you respond wrong or out of frustration or impatience or you don't respond at all or you ignore. So it's subconscious. But you actually have to, you have a huge role to play at home behind the scenes and it shows openly. I don't try to keep my husband's sons from feeling anything. I don't try to rescue their emotions. I can nurture them through pain, but sparing is trying to keep them from feeling something, you know? And so the same way that you receive correction is the same way you give it. And if you want to be, if you want correction to come a little bit lighter, you know, somebody understands you a little bit more, you know, speak a certain way, then you're going to be that same authoritative figure over your child. So that's something to consider. Allow the rod and the reproof become a part of you instead of ignoring it and then hoping for the best. And hoping for good results because you can't just skip over biblical principles. One of the questions that we just had was how does an auntie or a sister or some say a TT in the faith, how do they help with the child or the discipline of the child or what is their role to play? And the best answer for that is to learn the nature of the mother for the child because you want to gain the mother's respect. The child will love you easily, but you want the mother to be able to see the good balance of, you know, seriousness, play, trust, all the things that you need to be as an auntie before she can say, hey, I can trust my child with you or my husband's child with you. So as an auntie or a TT, yeah, I would just say you learn the mother of the child and definitely not trying to become the mother. Being an auntie is a different role. It's like being a big sister. It's like being the woman that you wished you had when you were growing up, you know. Hug them when they're crying. Don't just beat them when they're down. Don't just yell at them and correct them when they mess up. You know, be that good balance. That's what a child is looking for. I marvel at children. You know, children have always loved shepherd. Children have always loved pastor. And the more I grew in love, it became part of my nature too. There's something inside of the saints of the Most High, like children will love you if there's love in you. They just will. So we got a Ohio caller. Hallelujah. And we got a, hallelujah. Let's go here first. Yes, yes. Hold on a second, my sisters. Let me read this first. Check. All right, I got an email. I'm going to go to phone call. We're going to go to Ohio. Ohio. Ohio 567, you're live on the sister's show. Shalom.
Shalom, Sister Ashley and Mother Jennifer. This is Sister Lucretia from Ohio. I just want to say thank you to the Most High, first and foremost. But my question was... it's spot on, sister, because I am learning to have a balance with my 7-year-old son of loving him more with the correction because of our dynamic. I am technically a single sister, but, of course, I am covered by the Most High. So he doesn't, we don't have necessarily, you know, his father disciplining him, and we don't, he doesn't follow biblical principle of discipline. It grieves him to discipline him, and I am obedient to the father as far as discipline comes. I do not spare the rod, but I have noticed that I always check myself before I discipline him, because if I feel like there is, or I feel like the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is really telling me, or Yahweh's directing me and correcting me and directing me in the discipline of my son, because I felt like I've been a lot harder on him. It seems like, I feel like sometimes I might be a little harder on him because his father is so lenient on him. And so I had to really, you know, pray about having balance and then learning to love my son more than I am, you know, just having that balance, not more than another, but just making sure that I'm checking myself before I do so. But my question is, sister and Mother Jennifer, is how do I, well, am I doing, basically, am I doing this right? So I'm going to give you an example, and I want you just to respond if you can, sis. So I had my son, he constantly does the same things over and over again, and it's like he doesn't remember anything that he's being taught, or he doesn't remember, you know, what he's being told, you know. And from my perspective, I'm always telling him and explaining things to him, but then when it comes to, I just want him to make sure that he understands what my expectation is before I'm giving him the ride for something. Is that the right perspective?
I got a few good thoughts, and I think it's going to answer everything. I do clearly understand where you're coming from, and I appreciate your question because, like you said, you don't have a natural covering, so you are at the mercy of those who do or have experience. So is it okay if I let you go and we try to tackle this? You call back in if I don't cover it, okay?
Okay. Thank you, sister.
Absolutely. All right. So, all right, Mother Jennifer, just for starters, as I said, you're at the mercy of those who are experienced, and it's a very humbling road. Probably made a ton of mistakes, probably been very, very frustrated, and maybe even took out your anger towards his dad on him. And that's something that you have to get right on your knees until there isn't even a remnant of condemnation left. I mean, you're just constantly in a place of humility and surrender, allowing the Father to teach you how to be the mother you want to be. So just for starters, for example, when you called in and you're speaking live on a show to women, you would have told all your children that they're going to be quiet and they're not going to make any noise in the background while you call in and while you ask your question. So the whole time that we were focused on you, we also heard everything they were doing, right? And they just don't know any better. So they're just playing and doing their own home thing. And so you have to coach them. And the repercussion for being loud when you got off the phone is be a woman of your word and handle the correction the way that you handle your correction. So there's one step. But second, so she's wanting a little bit of help with her 7-year-old who is forgetting a lot. And maybe there's some willfulness involved. Maybe it's just lack of focus. Maybe there's lack of care, you know. Maybe he wants to play basketball outside and he's not too interested in the trash right now. So some of it is a childish, foolish behavior. So common, yes. But Mother Jennifer, your words first, please.
I wanted to say, Sister Ashley, that, you know, in the area of communication, I understand that we as a people, we don't really understand how to communicate in a concrete manner. And children, not just children, actually everybody needs concrete communication, because when you don't communicate in a concrete way, it leaves open so many areas where people can guess. You know, they can say, well, I think she may have said this, but she meant this. So first, number one, make sure that He has your full attention. Make sure that you give eye contact to your child when you're speaking to them. If they're doing something else, make sure that they stop doing whatever they're doing. They are looking at you and that you are looking at them as well. Make sure also that when you communicate, your communication is not abstract. You know, like say if you're giving instructions for a certain time to have a shower taken every night, you don't want to say, well, you may want to take your shower in a few hours, or you may want to take your shower right when it gets dark. You need to give that child concrete communication, and you need to say you need to make sure your shower is complete no later than 8 p.m. So there's a difference in that communication. And I noticed that when parents communicate, a lot of times we say, we give options. We say, you might want to do this, or we put it in question form. Are you ready to take your shower? You know, or are you ready to eat dinner? No, it's dinner is ready. Here is your plate. It's time to eat. Your shower needs to be taken by this time. You know, they need concrete communication. So I know those are two factors that can go into children, quote unquote, forgetting. If the communication is not concrete and if they don't have your full attention and you don't have their full attention. And also, you know, I'm glad that she acknowledged the point about her being harder on him sometimes, you know, because she could see that he wasn't being disciplined by his father. And I'm glad that she acknowledged that. And I wanted to say, you know, that's a really good point, because you want to make sure that you're not disciplining or being harder on him as a result of resentment that you may have towards his father. So I wanted to just put that in there. And, you know, it's good that you pointed that out. Sister Ashley?
Very good, because there's this thin line between I want to give correction and discipline, but for some of you, you've been beaten, you've been hit, you've been physically abused, right? So giving it, you have no concept of being free to do it, to be authority over your child and to be doing it right. So you admit these things to the father and you really conversate with the father, being very clean before him. When you speak to your son, if he is not good at doing what you say, have him repeat what you say before he leaves your presence. So what time did I tell you to take a shower? 7 p.m., Mom. Okay, I expect you to be in the shower at 7 p.m. if I come by. Okay, so it takes even more effort and discipline from you. I have also learned that we women, we talk too much by nature. And when you talk too much to your child, a lot is going to be lost. You think you communicated clearly, but you did a lot of talking, and it's a lot of wasted words. And one time my son was very young, and I was correcting him. He was 4 maybe, and I've always gotten eye level with him, and I'm asking him whatever I was asking him, and I heard that still small voice say, "The Bible says ride." And it stopped all my speech from that point on, and it molded me into a much more, you know, concrete, direct, and also a responder. You know, you do this, I'm gonna respond to that. So you have to be very. It's like motherhood makes you be a different woman than you would want to be. By nature, you want to be lax and you want to be idle and you want to be fun and you want to be friendly, and you want to get along. And you want everybody to love you as a woman, but as a mother, it's a completely different function of who you are. You're teaching them how to love the Father through their obedience to you and your voice. So acknowledge all of your mistakes and really determine in your heart to be different and do different and not to fall into the same repetitious condemnation. I mean, really be victorious. So don't use too many words. A boy child doesn't need to hear us. It's just what, I, like my husband says, he says many great things, and as I've said earlier on the show, there's a lot of things I don't share just for the sake of the audience and for misunderstandings and for the lack of biblical application out there. It's going to be, you know, twisted in the mind. It's like it's going to be misunderstood, so there's a lot of instances that I can't use. But believe me, my husband stresses to me how important it is to get their respect and their ear now. And if you don't have their ear now, 10 and under specifically, then you're going to have to get it. And it's not going to be by your overmuch talking. It's going to be strictly by biblical principles and your manner of life. And don't be surprised if your son rises up to hit you, kick you, yell at you, abuse you later if you don't get it right. So it is a very fearful thing. So we got another phone call. Hallelujah. Going to Arizona. Erica 480, Arizona. You are live. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom, Sister Ashley, Mother Jennifer. This is Sister Nikki.
Shalom.
I wanted to call in because I asked how not to become bitter towards your child if they have a history of being disobedient. Because I've noticed lately, my daughter has a history of being disobedient, and whenever she wakes up in the morning and I see her, I know I feel something come over me like, oh, here we go again. So how do you not become that way, or how do you change it?
Very good question. I'm going to let you go. Sister Nikki, also, I want to compliment you. You are one of the few humble women, not that there are not more asking questions, but you have always put yourself at the mercy of those who are experienced, and that proves that you want to be a better mom, that you want your daughter to be better than you have been, and that you love the Father. So Yah sees the fruit of all of us, those who want to be better, those who will ask the questions, and those who won't and think that they are already good. So bless you. Thanks for the question, and I'm going to let you go, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Mama Jennifer, can I say this, and then you answer her question?
Absolutely.
If you could go into detail, Mother Jennifer, if you can go into detail of taking it personal, that is the only reason why a mother would actually grow bitter. You take the disobedience personal and you own it. See, when I give my children instructions, I don't take it personal if they don't obey. It's nothing they have in their heart against me. It's an innate nature inside of that creation that's determined to do its own will, his or her. So if you could speak on taking it personal, Mother Jennifer, it's very freeing when you no longer take it personal and you just abide in the function of your role as a mother. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. You have to remember that each child is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And if you don't take it personal, you know, you can't look at their behavior and think that, you know, this child is my enemy. You know, even when you're dealing with children, you have to remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So there are principalities that are trying to rule this child. They're trying to really get into this child's will. And so you can't allow that spirit to wear you out. You have to continue to instruct. You have to be consistent with the rod. And you have to be consistent in loving and not taking it personal. And you have to really teach them that their sin is against the Most High. Because when you start taking it personally, then you start getting weary with the raising of the children that Yah has trusted you with. So it really is very freeing when you look at it from that perspective that, okay, Yah has placed this child in my hands. And I am responsible for making sure that I lead and direct them in the right way. This has nothing to do with the flesh and blood that I'm looking at, but there's a spirit that is trying to drive this child. So when you look at it like that, you learn to actually be consistent and you learn to wear that spirit out instead of having that spirit wear you out and allowing you to grow weary in well-doing. Sister Ashley?
And you go down a checklist, my sisters, and you say, have I loved them, you know, in other ways than just
constant words and verbal correction. You know, have I hugged them? Have I said good morning? Taught them a song? Taught him or her to, you know, to cook, to help, to have fun even? Have I allowed them to enjoy their childhood? And do they enjoy their childhood? If not, why? And is it because of me? Am I all correction and no nurture? You know, am I all correction and I'm afraid of the balance? I'm afraid of being soft. And some women, because we have all been so far into the world, you're so easy to be harsh, so easy to yell, to correct, to demand, and it's difficult for you to be soft and gentle and pliable. And that's an imbalance. That's something very wrong in your nature that Yah can break, Yah can do, Yah can change, but it comes with your humility. I've given this story many times, and I'll say it on the show. I told Jennifer today I had never ever cooked lamb in all my life, and I'd be given the opportunity to cook lamb for an event for the saints here. And just because I had never cooked it, I went and sat at least two people's feet asking tons of questions. What did you do? Okay, well, what about this? What about that? Asking. Because there's something spiritual that happens when you make yourself teachable. Even if you think you know how. Could I have successfully made the lamb? Sure, maybe. Could I have marinated it by myself with no help? Yes. Grilled it alone? Yes. But I knew I'm feeding the Most High's people, much like you are training the Most High's son or daughter. And I must sit at someone else's feet. I must ask questions. I can't just believe that I got it all, or that I know it all, or that I can do it all. Someone has done it before me. And there's a spiritual principle to making yourself teachable, because that was an amazing lamb. Kudos to Ashley, high five, you know, pats on the back, hallelujah. But in my heart, I knew that if I had not gone the steps that I did to sit at the people's feet, that you wouldn't have gotten the product that you got. Sakina, come forward, please. Do you remember the question you asked me today?
Yeah.
Ask me the question on the show. Yes.
I asked Sister Ashley, I said...
Come on down to the mic.
I said, what was it like, how was it like following Mother, being under her? Like, what, you know, basically an inflection, just asking her, like, what was it like to follow her? What was it like to be around her?
Mother Carol.
Mother Carol, since Sister Ashley first came to the land.
Hallelujah. Do you remember the one-liner I gave you?
Yes.
Share it.
It was a mirror.
Yes. I told her, it's like walking around with a mirror. That was my answer. What's it been like? Following, you know, the saints here, Mother Carol specifically, she asked me, what's it been like, you know, following up behind her, growing up behind Mother Carol? It's like having a mirror. Why? What does that mean, Ashley? What's the riddle? Well, it's a constant reflection of the potential of who I can be. I told her it was never a mirror that was to show me my inadequacies. It's just all a mentality. You hold that mirror in front of your face, like James says, and you see who you need to be, and you turn away from that mirror, and you forget what manner of face or man you look like. That's what James says. But that's not the intention of the word. When we discuss things and you hold this mirror up even as a mother over your child and you say, this is the reality of who I am. This is how I feel. This is what I think. This is what I need. This is what I don't got. And you get it. You find the things you don't have. You find them in Yah. You find them through humility, through experience. So I don't even believe, even myself now, by nature. See, y'all don't know my heart. But by nature, I don't assume that I have answers. I still sit at feet. I still get communication, talk to people, right? And I think that's going to benefit us more as mothers, opening up dialogue that's more edifying, you know, because we're all longing to be healed, to be free, and to be better. And the only way we can is to use one another as the tools set before us to get the job done, Mother Jennifer.
And, you know, Sister Ashley, you talked about, you know, opening up dialogue, and I think about the communication between parents and children. And I know a lot of times parents will get caught up in, you know, Pastor talked about this on Sabbath, parents will get caught up in social media. They'll find the time to get wrapped up in social media, but they won't find children. They'll find time to text on their phone or to talk on their phone. They'll be wrapped up in their phone, but they won't give time to their children. And the children actually need it. It's something that is very, very important. At the end of the night, you know, it's a really good practice to get into is, you know, when your child is settling down for bed, just have a nice little 30-minute talk with your child. Ask them, you know, we call it highs and lows. What was your high for the day? You know, something that was really exciting for them for the day. And what was your low? And when they tell you what their low was, you know, something that they were disappointed in, that is when you teach them how to make their confessions to Yah. Ask them, have you gotten this right between you and the Father? Have you repented? And what are you going to do different tomorrow? So those are three really good questions to ask the child at night before bed, because it really teaches them how to be accountable to Yah and how they can have their own personal relationship with the Father. And it also teaches them that, you know, they're not going to be able to skate by based on their mother and their father's relationship with the Most High Yah. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Here's a question. Being the weaker vessel, how can I operate as the weaker vessel, being dependent on my husband, at the same time being independent, spiritually and emotionally mature? So how can I be strong while being the weaker vessel without being a masculine woman? My initial thought is not manifesting your weakness. That's what makes us strong women. So what is the weak nature? It's the flesh. What makes you a strong vessel? Not manifesting the flesh. See, on your knees, when you're completely surrendered, it is your weakest moments, completely annihilated, nothing left of you, completely open, surrendered, empty. How can I say, becoming clean on your knees, surrendering to the idea that you have no strength, that everything you've ever known is a nature that was formed because of your pride, a nature that was formed in you because you wanted to protect yourself from hurt and not face it. Through the acknowledgement of what you can't do without Yah, that acknowledgement on your knees, I can't be a good mom without you. I can't be a good wife without you. I can't live, move, or have my being without you. I've failed trying, you know. That complete surrender behind the scenes creates a humility in the open that carries you, you know, in your strength. And the, you know, Mother Jennifer, how do you teach how vital it is to stay on your knees to women who see no reason for it, who make no time for it? You know, on your knees is the only way to become a strong woman while still being the weaker vessel. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, when you truly realize the power that Yah has given you on your knees, when you are in communion with Him, when you are in communication with Him, that is where your power comes from. Your power does not come from the words that you speak, the clapback that you can give if you don't agree with something, comes from you trusting in the Father and putting your trust in the Father and knowing that he is the one that has dominion over you, and you giving him, you know, you asking him to just really, Father, shape my will. Allow me to give up my will and shape my will into yours. I desire what you desire. That is where your power comes from. But if you don't spend that time communicating with him, if you don't spend that time on your knees, then you're walking around in your own strength. You know, the word tells us that it's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by his spirit. There's no way that you're going to be able to tap into his spirit if you ignore that time with him. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I'm going to give a few concrete examples of communicating to your children, okay? My son has come to me on more than one occasion. I say my son, you know they're deacons, but under my stewardship when he's gone. And my son has come to me, and Charles hit me, and Angelica didn't give him the rod or correct him. You know what I say? It is not your place to speak to me this way about another adult. It is not your place to dishonor another adult or to give them direction. Now, how many of you in your hearts would get offended, be upset, go talk to her about why she didn't give the rod, right? Because you're so emotional. I can't make another woman give her children the rod. And community moms, you know all about it. Your job is to love one another and to let nothing divide you. If you're allowing your children to divide your love between sisters, woe on you. I have different students in my classroom. One of them hurries quickly to get done and misses and makes mistakes. One of them won't stay focused. One of them, after about an hour of school, is clocked out in the mind for the rest of the day. One of them guesses a lot. One of them is completely focused and never distracted. Okay? So who do I need to be for each of them? Concretely, what does that look like? Well, it's not to yell. It's never to yell. You know, there's a time for correction. Maybe you being mom all the time, or the mom that you are all the time, maybe that's been the problem. Maybe you only have one channel that you operate on. And so I'll give you an example. I take my own son, who often has focus issues, and I say, hey, let's take a walk. And we walk. We go outside. We've already been there, done that, corrected. Verbally, etc., disciplined, biblically, to get him to change his focus. Okay, so you're not producing fruit. So now what? So I'm going to change my method. I'm going to go down my list of methods till we find what works. It's all going to be biblical, but it's going to be in balance, and it's all going to be reported to his father. So we take a walk, and I say, you know what I noticed? I've really been observing you while you work. And what is me walking with him doing? It's showing him that it's not always about me in front of your face putting you down. We're walking. We're talking. I want your feedback too. So I say, I notice that you do great for your first part of the school day, and then you hit that break time, and then it's difficult for you to accomplish your task. So this is what we're going to do. After that break, I'm going to give you small breaks in between your subjects. So we're going to break it up even more, and we're going to see if that helps your mind. So we get back to the school porch, right, in my little homeschool area, and we get up to the porch, and we're taking our shoes off to go back inside. And I said, do you feel better just because we went on a walk, right? Yes, ma'am. Do you feel like you could go in and tackle your math right now and do it full focused? Yes, ma'am. So even just that small walk for him meant a lot. So I send my children on a quick walk. I'll do it often just because they got to get up from their page and they got to think, you know, everything you're shoving into them is new. It's old to you. You've been there, done that. You know it all. But it's brand new to their minds. So they need to see a lot of patience in you too. But Mother Jennifer, I don't believe in taking everything away from a child and never having the balance of biblical discipline, because they're gonna, you're ultimately sparing, you know. Well, you didn't do this right, so I'm gonna take this away. You didn't do this right, so you're not gonna eat this. You did do this, so I'm not going. No, no. Look at the child and say to yourself, they don't care. They don't care, right? And a lot of the what we do as mothers, Jennifer, is because we don't want to do what our mom did, right? And so we have to reflect on that, meditate on that. I had to take my heart to those deep places and try to gain a balance of who I needed to be and really, really self-check and come clean with myself on why I didn't do and say certain things, why I held back or why I spared, why I cared more about their emotions this moment. I mean, everything is a reflection, a self-reproof. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, some have just not dealt with bitterness that they may have from their mother or father, the way that they was disciplined, they didn't agree with. So there are so many that have not dealt with that. And so because of that, they won't discipline their own children. They won't give their children the rod because of that. One thing that is really refreshing and freeing is to hear Pastor Dow talk about, you know, his childhood and how he was disciplined and, you know, and how they were given the rod. It was not spared at all. But he understands that it was truly done in love, and he's so free. But women, many women don't have that testimony. They're not free. And so they spare their children because they're not free in that area. So if you have things that you are holding on to regarding your mother or your father, you know, you may have made a silent vow in your heart that I'll never be like them. I'll never treat my children like this. You know, you even say it when you're young, when you're getting the rod. When I get older and I get married, I'll never beat my children. I'll never whoop them. I'll never give them the rod. And you don't realize what impact that has when you say that at the age of 8 or 9, and then you grow up and you wonder why you're sparing your children. Well, it's because you have unresolved issues. Still blaming, you're still holding bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart for something that happened years ago, not understanding that, you know, if it was done in righteousness or if it wasn't, you've never really resolved it in your heart. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So I got an email, I got a question in the chat, I got 2 phone calls. Let me go to the phone call real quick. Sister Heidi, good to hear from you. Let's go to Indiana. Hallelujah. Area code 219, you're live on Sister to Sister. Shalom.
Shalom, my sisters. Blessings, Sister Ashley, Mother Jennifer. This
Hallelujah.
Is Sister Christina from Northwest Indiana.
Shalom.
I am calling in today, sisters, just to touch and agree and to share something as well that I learned from Mother Jennifer and Elder Rufus. Okay. A few months when Sister Ashley was on break, they hosted the show together. And when they hosted the show together, I believe this was a repeat of a conversation that was brought up then. I remember calling in and asking, how do I give correction to my children? I explained the situation that was going on. I was told to hang up and they were digging into deeper. I wasn't prepared for that. I wasn't prepared for the correction and the love that Elder Rufus spoke when he says that has to start with you. And I also remember a prior conversation with Mother Jennifer. The key for getting the child in line, she said, is to be consistent with the discipline. That's something that I never did. And until I had it in my heart, and until I prayed for it to be over my mindset, that is when I started to see the difference in my children. it was hard. You know, it was something that I wasn't used to. It was unfamiliar with my behavior. But it was truth within what was stated. Elder Rufus was like, take a look at yourself, my sister, and see what you got going on. You said it yourself that if the children act well around the father but not well around you, what are you doing? That checked me. That checked me and made me go do some digging on myself, because when I did that digging, I realized how rebellious my mind state still was towards my husband and how that affected the behavior with my children towards me. And I just want to say bless y'all and thank y'all, because of that love and that correction, it put me in a position to really check myself. And in the midst of checking myself, I was able to, you know, give my kids that love and understanding of giving them that correction and being consistent with it, because that was the key. I used to be one of those mothers that would be like, oh, I said sit down and don't say nothing. And then they'd be up 5 minutes later and I won't think nothing of it. Okay, y'all, just be quiet. Blowing it off. Or like Sister Ashley said, and as well as you, Mother Jennifer, being in the phone, right? Distractions, you know, the TV, the computers, the surroundings, because I wasn't working on my mindset in order to feed the children the knowledge that they needed to know and teach them the ways that they needed to be taught, because I was too stuck on me and worrying about my feelings and how I felt and the embarrassment. I believe, like the first caller said, she felt, you know, a little tension, or she felt like she didn't want to overcorrect. But it's not about overcorrecting. It's about correcting and being, I can't say it enough, being consistent, because that's what helped me. And I just want to say bless y'all, and I appreciate the love and the consistent knowledge that y'all pour into the people who were lost, the people who had no way, who grew up without knowing who y'all was, people who had no mother, no father to teach them the way, who to give them correction. Because those little small words planted seeds in me, and they grew, and I'm able and blessed now to plant those same seeds into my children. So shalom, my sisters, and I just want to say bless y'all and thank y'all.
Hallelujah, bless you. Mother Jennifer, we gotta sound it off on that one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah.
That's a great phone call. Go ahead, what's your thoughts?
Yes, great phone call. Someone who followed the wisdom and actually has the fruit to show for it. And, you know, my sister, even though you are seeing the fruit that your consistency has brought, don't let up at all. Continue to be consistent. Sister Ashley?
We as sisters need to be consistent with one another, too, allowing one another time for change, you know, not taking things so personal. You know, really being, does everybody receive Ashley? No way. You know, does everybody want Ashley to correct their children? No way. I don't take it personal by any means. I don't have any fault or issue. So I hope you too, as a woman, can be that way. I don't have any rejection because of it. Some women want me to be auntie and mom and school teacher to their child, and some women don't. And that's fine. That's really fine. I treat each child as a purchased possession of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And if he wants me to steward or be have a role to play in that child's life, then I will fulfill that. And if he doesn't, by the lead of that child's husband or that child's mother, then I will not overstep that. So let's not be controllers of one another's families, you know, wanting things to go a different way, wanting a child to act a different way. I can maintain my peace whether the crowd around me is obeying or not. That's something that is going to be very precious to each of you. As the time gets more and more closer to the return of the Messiah, you must be able to have peace within yourself, regardless of the circumstance and the storm around you, having less and less to do with other people's lives, you know, tightly knit together, bound together, yes, with those who are in oneness of mind. But if they're not, don't let them steal your peace. Don't give your soul over to negativity. Don't allow someone else's negative ways to bleed off on you. What do I teach my son? Judas said, da, 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 da. Gideon said, da, da, da. It's just words. You're going to hear a lot of them. You're going to say a lot of them. It's just words. One way to be consistent with your children is to get those little phrases that you repeat over and over into their minds. You know, get the biblical principles of the law in your heart and say that over and over. I don't got to change my correction every time it comes up and correct and say a different word. It's just, hey, every time I'm going to say the same thing. It's just words. But he said that I'm not any good at writing. It's just words, son. You want to be good at writing? Write good. It's just words. So it's the same talk that you give yourself, you know. It's the same tough talk you give yourself. Don't try to spare them any of their emotions. Don't try to take them away for them. Teach them how to fight on their own, you know. Teach them their adversary and what he plans to do. Be an honorable mother to your children, but also a perfect communicator to those other mothers and women that are in your lives. Be a perfect communicator so that they'll honor you as a steward over their child when their child is with you, you know. I want to communicate to Angelica, to Adele, to, you know, any woman that I'm with when it comes to our children. I want to communicate, you know, and they do too. So that right there, communicate, and great call. Again, be consistent. We got another phone call, but I'll take your words first, my Jennifer. Go ahead.
Sister Ashley, very well spoken. I don't have anything to add. I do have an answer that came in on my phone after we take your question, if we could take this one.
Okay, sure. Look, I have let me go here. She's been waiting a little bit. Let's take this phone call. Sister Dorothy in Louisiana, area code 504. Thank you very much for the painting, Dorothy. You're live.
Oh, bless y'all both. Shalom. How are y'all doing?
Shalom.
Shalom.
Victorious. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I just want to, I do have a question, but I first want to say what you were speaking on with Pastor, and the children love him. We got to experience that when we went to the conference in Dallas, and he was coming up to each table and greeting everyone. And my master's four-year-old, Brielle, looked at him like, pick me up. And he did, and it brought a lot of joy to us. And my master said, you know, the children know. The children know.
Hallelujah.
And it was just beautiful because it's just, that was her first time really being around him, and she was like, I want you to pick me up. But
hallelujah.
I just wanted to share that. Yes, ma'am. And say, okay, so this is something that I know is for me that is manifesting in my master's daughter, Brielle. Maybe trying to get some clarity on maybe the root of it. But, okay, so it doesn't happen every time, but sometimes when I correct her, especially when I make eye contact, maybe when she feels really cornered or uncomfortable, she'll try to laugh. And it does one or two things. It, you know, thanks to the Father's Ruach, that, you know, I can, it tries to, there's something in me that tries to manifest that wants me to laugh too. And I choke it back, and it either makes me angry or that rises up in me too. And I don't know if it's like things that are serious, because when my mom would correct me at times, she would be serious one minute and then try to laugh. And I noticed when I was younger in certain uncomfortable situations, I would try to do it too. Like one time I was hiding from my mom. I was fearful of getting corrected, and I started laughing. I couldn't control it, and it gave me away. And I'm seeing this in her now, and when it happens, I can feel the manifestation trying to come on, and I'm not really sure. I would really appreciate any insight that y'all would have on that.
Hallelujah. Absolutely. I'm going to ask you a, if I can say, rhetorical question. I already know the answer for it, but has disobedience ever been funny to you since you met the Father?
Since I've met the Father?
Yeah, meaning in the faith, is disobedience funny?
No, ma'am.
It's not at all funny. So that's the first thing you're going to do is teach it. You're going to remove all humor. You're going to remove it from your face, your character and your nature, and you're going to apply biblical discipline immediately. And you know what that means.
Yes.
And when you do that, you're also handling yourself immediately, and you're allowing the Father to minister to you. One thing, it's a very good question because it opens up another dialogue. One thing that happens during correction is if you're giving it, you will also receive it. If you refuse to give it, you won't get any. So there's a dynamic that you're not going to get an answer from the Father when you're not doing what is required of you as a mother either. Does that make sense? So you will actually be blessed. Yeah, you'll get your answer in actually applying the ROD.
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Great question. Anything else, Mother Jennifer? Please talk.
I wanted to say, Sister Ashley, that, you know, I have personally dealt with a sister that experienced this as a child, even through her adulthood. And I, you know, we were talking one day, and I said, you know, is this something that one of your parents used to experience? And she said, yes. She said that her father, when he would get nervous, he would start to laugh. So there was, for her, was a nervousness that was connected with the laughter, because you're trying to avoid or get out of a situation that makes you uncomfortable. So the best way for him to handle it was to laugh. So for her, she had to break the soul tie, the ungodly soul tie between her and her father, anything that may be on the generational line. And for her, it was actually tied into arrested development. So hers kind of went a different way. But yes, ma'am, I just wanted to kind of add that based on the experience of someone else. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Well said. I think that gives her a lot to think on. Thank you for your question.
Yes, ma'am. Bless you both. Thank you all so much.
Hallelujah.
Bless you.
If we as mothers really, really take to heart how important it is to receive correction from the Father, I mean from our shepherds, our leaders, the messages in your spirit, in prayer, how important it is to actually receive and apply it, then you won't have any problem teaching your child how to receive it. I don't mind stopping what I'm doing and taking as long as it will require. So if you want to drag this thing out, we'll drag it out. Let's sit on the couch. When you get done with all these emotions, I'm still going to be right here asking the same questions and expecting the same result out of you, child. You know, it's not, I know I'm talking tough on the show, but I'm very, very nurturing too. So there's a tenderness that you have to have as a mother, but you do have to remind your spirit, the spirit of Yah in you, you remind yourself that you are the authority over this child. And this child has ruled you or is ruling you. And you also take into account how uncomfortable it makes the environment. You know, how selfish you are to not get this in line with Yah's word so that others will also see the good fruit. No one's going to have a problem with any of our children if we're actually correcting them and being there on time for them. So does anyone care if a child cries? No, not at all. But if it's a fussy, willful cry every day, every time, every week, when you fellowship, every Shabbat, and you're not doing anything about it, you become oppressive. And so you have to reflect on yourself and on your child, and you have to change. And no, not because we say so, just if you want peace. So I don't mind who, I always say, I don't mind who doesn't have peace. I do. I'm not disturbed by anyone's child, anyone's cries. I promise you, my heart is so settled and fixed on the kingdom, you're not going to shake me. But at the same time, we do need to consider one another. And you want people to be able to correct your child and in love, and that child receive you. So I also teach deacons' children to listen to men when they speak, listen to the man of Yah when they speak at all times. The Bell children are not allowed to be doing anything except listening when it's Sabbath day, when the videos are on, for example. We listen to videos in the dining hall. I'm definitely not a example of all things. I only have a 3, a 4, and a 7-year-old. So there's many, many women that, you know, I have 2 in particular that I ask a lot of questions to. If anyone can benefit you and spare you any hurt, wouldn't you ask, you know? Wouldn't you want to be at their feet and ask? Mother Jennifer, let's go to a 615. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, 615, you are in our area. 615, shalom, you're live. 615, Tennessee, maybe you're just listening in. Thanks for listening in. All right, so I got an email. Let me go there. It's a little bit off topic from children, but it's a question that we can answer. All right, it says, peace and blessings and double honor to you. What do you do if you feel like you are spiritually stuck? You want to go to the next level, which is often mentioned by the ministry, but the more you read, listen, and praise, you do not feel closer to the Father. Oh, that's a good one. You know why, my sisters, this is a good one? Because going higher doesn't have a feeling. And being stuck, is it reality or not? And if so, what is concretely manifesting being stuck in your life? If you're feeling it, if you're thinking it, what is the proof of it? Okay? What are you expecting that you're not getting? So you ask yourself these questions and you say, okay, I want to go to the next level. What is going to the next level? Easy. The things that bother you now will not ever bother you again when you go to the next level. No feeling, no emotion will go with you when you go to the next level. That's a concrete manifestation of going higher. Okay? So what are you bound by now? That's what you want to shake. Mother Jennifer, anything to add before I finish the email?
Yes. I believe that Pastor spoke about this a few months back, and he talked about maturity and how when you first came to the Most High Yah, you always, quote-unquote, felt his presence. You know, you could just feel him. And as you mature, you don't always feel him. You just know, based on your belief, that he is there. You know that he will never leave you. You know that you need to continue to strive and you need to continue to fight regardless of what you feel. So it's not always about the feeling. You know, when you mature, you're not going to have the exact same things that he put, you know, that he gave you in the very beginning. You're going to have to learn how to press and press your way in and continue to strive and continue to push, because it's just not going to be an easy thing. It's not going to be hard either, but it's just not going to be an easy thing. Sister Ashley?
I think that's the answer, what you just said. I think that's a great thing. I mean, if you were Yah, and, you know, no foolishness intended, because we can never be such a holy Yah, but if you were Yah, wouldn't you also test your people? pull back from them, not give them the good fuzzy feeling and say, let me see if you love me. Let me see if you deny me. Let me see how far you'll go before you think I'm not there. So you think like him. It says, her email says, it feels almost like my growth has slowed. I don't want to slow down. I'm striving to be set apart. I've distanced myself from my heathen family members. I'm striving to be a righteous mother and obedient wife. I'm crying out to the Father not to be cut off from his warmth and his love. Hallelujah. Sometimes our past rejections drive us not to be rejected and abandoned by our Father. And so it's a great thing to cry out to not be cut off and to be spared. But it could have an underlying fear behind it because of the inconsistencies of the men in your past. Our Yah is nothing like man, and his commitment is everlasting. But you must confess to him how much you don't believe that, because you believe that by your works there's something you could do to keep his love or to make him love you more. And that's not how he works. Because in the end, when you receive your crown, if you hear well done, it's not going to be by your works. It's going to be by nothing you've done. So there is a peace that comes over you as a mature child of the Most High Yah, a peace and a knowing that comes that just rests your soul and says, there's nothing I can do, no works that I can do to make you love me anymore. I just have to love you more. Sacrifice more. Give more. She says, what are the next steps to whatever is binding me? How can I attack the spirits that are hindering me during deliverance if I'm not sure which ones they even are? So what are the next steps to whatever is binding her, she says. Mm-hmm. Just trusting that your answer will come is often all you need. Not believing that your answer has to come on your time, that's often what you need. But also, resting in a relationship with the Father is he will always come through for you. His time, his way. He will always provide for you his time, his way. So, keep praying out while you wait. Mother Jennifer?
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, very well spoken. I don't have anything to add.
All right. I'll conclude my thoughts and the show.
We have one more question, Sister Ashley, on my end.
You said that, Mother Jennifer. Please go ahead.
Okay. The question is, when is a good time to start teaching your children in school? And what are some good topics to start with?
Teaching them in school what? Bible? Or teaching them school in general? What do you think in context the question is, Mother Jennifer?
It looks like it's meaning in general. I know this is a young child, and I believe the question is, you know, what are some of the basics to start with when you're trying to teach them? They're younger than the age of 4. I don't know the exact age, but I think this mother wants to know, you know, when do you start? We're homeschooling, so when do you, quote-unquote, start the homeschooling process, and what are some good subjects that will prepare them early on to be ready for homeschool?
Hallelujah. Would you like to speak first, Mother Jennifer?
I would. Yes, ma'am. You know, Sister Ashley, learning starts very early. Learning starts from the time they come out the womb. I know that babies love to be talked to. They love to be communicated to. So from the time that they come out of the womb, you're always communicating with them so that you can make sure that they comprehend who they are. You're making sure that they comprehend who Yah is and who Yah has created them to be. So that's one aspect of learning. As they're growing older, you know, they're never too young to repetitively learn, you know, their colors or their numbers or their letters, their ABCs, whatever it may be. So it's really hard to give a particular age, I believe. I've seen children learn before they could even speak. And when they started speaking, the things that they started speaking were the things that they were learning. So it's hard for me to give a really concrete age as far as their learning. Even when Pastor talks about his Kaya, you know, he's already learning. They're already communicating with him. They have a routine as far as what they do with him. So he's already learning things. So Sister Ashley, did you want to add to that?
Yes, it's kind of like you could say so much and then not say anything at all. I mean, you covered a great basis of it. You know, at 4 years old, here on the land, they go into pre-kindergarten. So 4 and a half, 5, they're ready for kindergarten. We do start a year earlier than American public school. Your child, by 6 to 8 months, you know, at least for the bells, you know, I'm thumping the cheek and I'm pinching their ears, and they're learning how to be quiet and not to do that high-pitched squeal. Some allow it, some don't. Between 6 months to 8 months, every child's going to squeal. I've seen the pattern of every child do the exact same thing since I've had my child, since I've actually been observing all human beings when they're born. It's the exact same pattern. Seriously. And so they're going to do a high-pitched squeal somewhere between 6 to 8 months. They're going to start crying for mommy and just mommy. You know, they're going to do those different phase times between 8 months to a year. They're going to do that. They're going to do it again at year and a half to 2 years. They're going to do it again at 5 years. That's been scientifically proven. So you want to teach your child how to sit quietly and be content with what you've given them without a video game. You want to teach them how to stand beside you and stick their hands in the water. I mean, even if they're 2 and they can reach the sink, why not? You know, so you have to put them in your life and not shove them always to the side. But, yeah, as far as homeschool goes, it's not, you know, I personally like involvement and daily communication better than I even do this Greco-Roman Caesar curriculum anyway. You know, we teach them education because we love them and we want them to know, but at the same time, priority is Bible and life and living it. So there's just so much you can pour into them just by your life and you living it too. I hope everyone has gotten something out of tonight's show. If you call, if you need us, if you email, if you have questions concerning your pregnancy or your child in any way, we'll put you with the right woman, the woman that's experienced it. I believe every mother has something to share with one another, every one of them, whether it be a total failure, regrets, or a perfect balance between awesome job. Speaking of awesome job, I'll end on this. I notice that this society really pushes the hand clap, good job, yay, about everything. Let's have a good balance. Right? Does my child deserve good job, yay, for everything? Because I'm trying to spare them the pain of this shitty life? Seriously, that's the manifestation of it. I don't want you to feel anything that hurts you, so I'm going to yay you to death. And so that actually creates even more failure. Because if someone that's not you is not giving them yay the rest of their childhood, then they feel like they flop. So you yell when something's wrong and you yay when something's great, and it's either this perfect punishment. So I don't always yay my children when they're doing the inevitable. Good job, you're walking. Great. Okay. I'm not being cold either because it deserves a yay, your first step, right? Just be in balance. Just be in balance. And you push your emotions off on your children. You believe that they feel what you feel, right? Somebody looked at them wrong. You're upset. They ain't got no kind of feeling. They ain't even think about it. Didn't even notice. Don't even care. But you put your feelings off on them. All right? So you start to monitor yourself as a mother. And you cannot protect your child. That's going to help you. You can't protect them from any demon that jumps on a brother or jumps on a sister. You can't. You try to cover them in your prayers, stay on your knees. I ask y'all to spare my children. Spare from those who hate me, you know, spare them from the evil day that is to come. I'm constantly crying out for their future. They're not going to be young all the time. Hallelujah. But find someone in your life that you can team up with if you need it, if you want it, if your husband promotes you to do so, that can help you as you help them. You know, let's do this thing as a tribe. Mother Jennifer, end the show.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yah. Shalom.